Good morning and welcome to Moments of Meditation for March 12, 2023, which is the third Sunday in Lent on the church calendar. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Pine City, Minnesota. We're located at 410 Main Street South. Our email address is zionpinecity@gmail.com, and we have a website at zionpinecity.org. We also have a Facebook page, which is easy to find, and we have a YouTube channel named Glenn Kleppe, which has a number of services that we have recorded over the past few years there, if you would like to take a look at those. Our phone number is 320-629-3683. Our worship services are at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, and a midweek service at 7 o'clock. Now, during the season of Lent, we have a special midweek service at both 11:30 in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening. And our theme during Lent is the famous last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. The Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Luther's Small Catechism. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Take a moment to consider your place in life and how you have sinned against God. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who's begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our churches and for all who offer in them their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 17, the first seven verses. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 95, the first 9 verses. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Our epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows us his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter, verses 5 through 30 and 39 through 42. So Jesus came into a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, as he wearied from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of the water of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and now the one you have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard it for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our consideration today is our Old Testament lesson from Exodus chapter 17, where the people are thirsty for water, and they ask the question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Back when I used to work in the insurance industry, we talked about things that were called acts of God. These things were what we would perhaps call natural disasters, times when things go wrong in the world around us and really bad things happen. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunami, avalanches are some of these. They happen all the time. Our world is filled with disasters. The worst one thus far this year is the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. According to what I read, that earthquake caused the most deaths of any natural disaster in more than 10 years, since the Haitian earthquake of 2010. Those disasters weren't nearly as bad as the Indian Ocean tsunami in 2004, which killed nearly 250,000 people. If you go back further, there was a famine in China around 1960, which killed around 50 million people. Although that probably wasn't entirely natural, there were some failed government policies involved. These things happen year after year. Every year it's something in some part of the world, and every time this happens, people ask the question, "Where is God? Why doesn't he stop these things?" Consider our Old Testament lesson for today, as the people are asking the same question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" I find it strange that at this point in history they would ask that question. They had just left Egypt. For an idea of how early this is in their journey, consider that this is chapter 17 and they don't get the Ten Commandments until chapter 20. These people had seen the greatness of God. Things like the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea had been very recent. They were only days or at most weeks after those events. You would think that these things would be fresh in their minds. If you've ever witnessed an act of God, a tornado or a hurricane perhaps, how long does that stay in your memory? A couple of days? A couple of months? The rest of your life? The people of Israel here are facing a problem. They're thirsty. They want water. We probably don't have a good sense of what that's like, because when we're thirsty, we walk to the kitchen and turn on the faucet, or stop at the nearest gas station and buy a bottle of water. But they were probably about 2 million people out in the wilderness, and they weren't sure what to do. The concern is real. It's life and death. But they're clearly not believing in the very God who got them freed from slavery and out of Egypt. Although their concern is real, I think there are a couple of issues with how they're dealing with it. First, they aren't trusting God. When they were slaves in Egypt, they brought their concerns to God, and He came and freed them. When they were camped along the Red Sea and the Egyptians were pursuing them, they cried out to the Lord, and He brought them through on dry land by parting the Red Sea. God was certainly with them and helped them in these very difficult circumstances. But now, when they're without water, God's word tells us that the people quarreled with Moses. They wanted Moses to fix the situation. They wanted Moses to provide them with water. They failed to go to God, who is the giver of all good things, who had blessed them mightily just in the very recent past. They had forgotten who it was that could really help them. And that's exactly the second issue. They went to see Moses. Moses was human, just like they were. Moses was thirsty, just like they were. Moses was sent by God to help them and lead them, but he did not have the ability to produce water out of nothing. Bringing the problem to a sinful human being simply increased the tension, and no doubt frustrated God. Because really, at the heart of this, the problem is sin. Since Adam and Eve fell into sin, the world is a fallen place. God no longer lives with His people and walks and talks with them. He's more distant. The world is not the way He wants it to be. There are earthquakes and tornadoes and tsunami. There are corrupt governments and murder and stealing. There's hatred. There's sickness and death. There are people in various places that are seriously in need of a drink of water, and yet there's no water around, or at least no one will give them a drink. The problems of the world are real, and they are really caused by sin. There are people making decisions incorrectly. I spoke earlier of a famine around 1960 in China. It wasn't entirely natural. The government had taken steps to change farming techniques, which reduced the crops greatly. And in a very strange move, they started a plan to remove pests from their country. And one of those pests was sparrows. They killed off literally millions of sparrows. What they learned was that sparrows were eating many of the harmful insects that would hurt their crops. And of course, those insects thrived and destroyed many crops. In their sinfulness, the government decided to improve on God's creation and ended up causing great harm. Sometimes our own greed or laziness contributes to the problems that we have. Poor construction often adds to the death toll in many of these acts of God. Things aren't constructed correctly because of laziness or greed. Structures easily collapse and have no safe spaces for people to be. Sometimes we put ourselves in harm's way. Every hurricane, you hear about people who refuse to leave the path of the storm because they want to stay with their house and their belongings. They should know better. But they allow their actions to be controlled by sinful selfishness. God's Old Testament people were stubborn. They knew that God was the source of life. They knew that God had helped them in the past. Yet, they refused to go to Him and ask Him for what they needed. They continually brought their concerns to Moses, in spite of the fact that he was often frustrated and angry with them. But they went to him because he was right there in front of them, and God was more distant. They wanted a solution that they could see and understand. We are stubborn too. We know that God is the source of all good in our life, yet we often seek what we need or want from worldly sources. We trust ourselves or our families or our government more than we trust God. We seek to have more control of our own lives and give less to God, even though we know better. We too want solutions that we can see and understand. God's Old Testament people were sinful. They mocked God by saying, "Did you just bring us out here in the wilderness to die? Were there not enough graves in Egypt?" Not only did they fail to go to God with their needs, they openly opposed Him and refused to recognize Him as God. They took His name in vain and elevated a human higher than God. We are sinners too. We fail to trust God with our health and our relationships and our finances. We often think that we know better. We often trust experts of the world more than we trust the Word of God. I have on occasion prayed for healing for someone who is in a hospital bed just to be told by the family that there's no need to pray for healing. The doctors say that it's terminal. Do the doctors know more than God? Should we ask God for what we want or give in to the appearances that are around us? In our sinful state, our relationship with God can be a mess. Like the children of Israel, we are far better off if we trust Him and turn to Him and ask Him for what we truly need and want. The fact is, God watched over His Old Testament people and kept them. He did bring them to the Promised Land. He protected their nation during the time of judges and kings, and when the time was right, He sent them a Savior. He sent a Savior who would deal with the problem of sin. Jesus kept the law perfectly on our behalf, which obviously His people can't do. Jesus took the sins of the world on Himself and died to take the punishment for those sins and bring us forgiveness and eternal life in spite of our stubborn refusal to follow God as we ought. Jesus won the victory over sin, death, and the devil that we could not win. Now God watches over us. He's blessed us with the church, through which He daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. He has blessed us with His Word, which is His power for the salvation of the world. Through that Word, we not only learn how Jesus defeated sin for us, but we believe it and receive it. He has blessed us with His sacraments of baptism and the Holy Supper. Through these gifts, He brings us to faith, brings us forgiveness, draws us ever closer to Him, and strengthens us for the path ahead. Facing our own sinfulness is important. If we don't consider our sinfulness often, we will not understand the problems of this world. If we do not acknowledge our sin, we will fail to receive the salvation that Christ won for us. That is one of the reasons that we observe the season of Lent. It's a preparation to celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord. We examine ourselves and find that it was our sin that caused Him to come and suffer on our behalf. I remember one year listening to the radio as I was driving in my car. It was a station playing Christian songs. It was Good Friday, and they were playing Easter songs. I asked myself the question, how can we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord without recognizing the cause of His death? Lent is about facing our sinfulness because of the good news that our sins are forgiven. Through Christ, we are forgiven our stubbornness and our missteps and are given instead forgiveness and eternal life. When we see the goodness of God, we recognize that hurricanes and tornadoes are acts of our sinfulness. Forgiveness and life are acts of God. Amen. We confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the blessing of the Lord, that he would receive our praise, hear our prayers, and satisfy us with his living water, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faithful pastors to lead us to the living water, flowing from the stricken side of our rock, Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For joy in the midst of the things we suffer, that God, who has made peace with us by the cross, would prepare us to behold his glory in heaven, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all Christian fathers, that they would stand in God's grace and urge their families always toward eternal life, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the nations of the world, that both citizens and authorities would seek justice, peace, and the common good of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and suffering, especially those who desire our prayers, we name them now, that according to God's gracious will they would be healed. And for those who mourn, we name them now, that God would fill their hearts with the certain hope of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For strong hearts that boldly confess our sins, that we who daily sin much may joyfully receive God's word of absolution, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. This has been Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City. We have worship services at 9 o'clock Sunday morning and now during Lent at 11:30 and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Our phone number is 320-629-3683. Please contact us if you have any questions or concerns. May the Lord be with you.